The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And good morning, folks. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Another Michigan Insider here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Sam Webb and my guy, Mr. Weintraub. He's on the other side of the county. He's inside the Ibden Studios. He made it. Now, I haven't looked outside, haven't cracked the blinds. Has the rain let up out there? Good morning.
Oh, it was so nice. Good morning, Sam. It was so nice to drive in dry conditions to work this morning. It was, I want to say, at some point after 5 o'clock yesterday, I don't remember the exact time, but at some point after 5 o'clock yesterday, the sun started to break through the clouds a little bit, and the rain was gone, and you could just kind of tell at that moment as the birds were chirping. That was the moment that we kind of turned the corner, at least in this window of time of when it comes to the weather. And it looks like – I haven't looked today to confirm the rest of the stretch of days, but it looks like we are now – at least in a few days. So today is a good day to let the lawn dry out or continue to dry out. And then maybe tomorrow might be a day to go out there and mow. I think today still might be a little too early. There's a lot of water out there. And, thoughts and prayers to our friends up in Midland who with the flooding up there, the pictures were just unbelievable. Some of the water, the shots that I saw from the news and online from up in Midland. So thoughts and prayers with them. And please be careful. There's still some standing water out there. So, Sam, for you, I'd give it at least another day before you go out there and mow the lawn. I know it's getting long. And I actually saw somebody out yesterday mowing, but he was using an electric push mower. So I think that it's a little different than when you bring your big boy out to bring that tractor out to mow the lawn. I think you may want to wait one more day, because it was pretty wet out there still late last night when later on in the evening when we walked the dog.
Yeah, the Tittabawassee River, it was the Eatonville Dam, as they said. There was a breach and water. If you, like Ira said, if you haven't seen the videos, it's dramatic. Governor Whitmer declared a state of emergency late last night. Said in the next, here over the next half day, downtown Midland could be under approximately 9 feet of water. That's a quote, Ira. So, obviously there have been some evacuations up there, and hopefully the situation doesn't get that bad. It's obviously really bad already. Hopefully it doesn't get to the point where we're talking about 9 feet. 9 feet of water atop downtown Midland. So, as you said, we are certainly looking to and praying for our friends to the north of us in Midland. And that rainfall, we kind of joked about it yesterday. They were talking about even up in my hometown of Flint and all the problems that have been had with the water up there when they had turned over to the Flint River. And man, even up there, you say when it rains, it pours. They've had moderate flooding up there as well. So a tough deal. And as we're going through what we're going through now with the coronavirus, you feel like, I know folks in those areas probably feel like the hits just keep on coming. So, like we said, hopefully, we can help our neighbors out. I know that resources are being sent up to Midland. And so hopefully, the folks up there can at least, even though there may be loss of property, hopefully they're staying safe and we don't see any people come in harm's way as a result. It is 6:12 on a Wednesday, a hump day. Rough segue, tough segue into something more trivial by comparison, but a news item that we previewed, Mr. Weintraub, and that's that Michigan picked up a commitment yesterday, a transfer commitment from Sean D. Brown. Sean D. Brown, call him a power guard or a power wing, 6'5", 220 pounds. Ira, I'm going to, a little bit later on today, I'm going to catch up with a guy who, you talk about me being a fan of. You know, I got a chance to speak with him briefly yesterday. You know the name Randolph Childress?
Oh, yeah. Come on, Sam. I watch a lot of ACC basketball. You know I know Randolph Childress.
I know you did.
That guy could ball
Randolph
when
Childress.
He was in college. He was a baller.
I know you know Randolph Childress. I mentioned his name to Josh Hinschke. He was like, no, I don't know him. I was like, okay, son, go Google Randolph Childress crossover. And Jeff McInnes, I'm surprised Jeff McInnes kept playing basketball after that. I remember one of the most iconic plays, at least in my lifetime, ACC tournament, crossed him over. That was the ACC tournament, wasn't it?
Pretty
he
sure it was.
Crossed Jeff
man.
McInnes over, put him on his butt, and then told him to come here before he shot a three. Yeah, it was, that Randolph Childress, exchanged some messages with him yesterday, chatted with him a little bit yesterday, going to get an interview in and get his thoughts on a guy who he was able to help mold here over his college career. You're talking about Sean D. Brown, but he said, man, the guy is built like an action figure. And I said, you know, that's a pretty apt description of what we see when we look at Sean D. Brown on video, when we see photos, because he's a guy, as we talked about on yesterday's show, he's a guy that is not, he doesn't win. He doesn't necessarily, get leverage with outstanding quickness. He has good quicks for a guy that's 6'5", 220, but he's not a blow-by guy in the sense that he's just a blur and he's by you. He's a guy, you know, that he can get a step on you, and if he gets you on his hip, because he has a good first step, but if he gets you on his hip, if you jump aside, and I think this is one of the reasons why he gets leverage so routinely. If you jump aside, he can go either way. I mean, you try to take away his right hand, he's very comfortable to his left, so much so that you seems like most of his highlights are him driving to his left. But the minute you do that, he's a righty anyway, and he is so strong that you can't knock him off his dribble. You know, a lot of guys you're able to body them off of their path, and this is just not a guy you're going to be able to do that with. He gets you on his hip, you are not getting in front of him, period. He gets to the rim, and sure, there may be help waiting or help coming, you know, bigger guys, and he's able to finish over and through contact. Someone asked me about a player comparison, and I said, is he like Charles Matthews? And from the standpoint of a slasher, and, you know, just trying to give Michigan fans a Michigan comparison. If you're looking at Michigan guys in recent history, I would say that would probably be the most apt one. Understanding, though, that two things. Number one, he is not as explosive as Charles. So Charles was, an explosive leaper. He's a good leaper, good athlete, but not a guy who I would call explosive. And, you know, I think Sean D is probably more, no probably to it, I think he is more adept putting it on the deck with both hands. You know, with Charles, and he got better at this, but, you know, you dropped his right hand and it was a little tougher for him. But Charles, he was so athletic. And I think that, you know, that he was able to finish over people at times. Similar in that they are not what you would call knockdown shooters. But you got to respect Sean D. Brown from distance. About a 32%, I think, was the stat, three-point shooter. Enough where, he's going to hit a three. He's going to hit a couple of threes. Not going to go off from out there. The name of his game is getting downhill and getting to the rim. And here's an interesting thing, Ira. So, one of the things that I forwarded yesterday, I think you may have as well, was that he could maybe position as a reason for a waiver, so he could play right away, that Danny Manning got fired. And immediately people say, oh, well, he, you know, he entered the portal, entered the draft before Danny Manning got fired. People are not following, Ira. They are not following these petitions. All you need is a plausible argument. You don't, you know, it doesn't have to totally follow. It doesn't have to be totally, you know, it doesn't have to totally pass the sniff test. That, you know, entering the portal, entering the draft, it is not a point of no return. He could have said this was exploratory. I was thinking about going back. I entered the draft or the portal in part because I was out of concern that something might be going on with Coach Manning. And when he was fired, you know, I decided that was the straw. You know, I'm on my way out. You just need a plausible argument, which is what we heard from Justin Fields, which is what we heard from Tate Martell. If those guys can get, and mainly more so Martell than Justin Fields. I know people talk about the inconsistency of his case. But as I said, when that one came up, I just felt like there was a virtual certainty that Justin Fields was going to get his waiver. For those who can't remember that case, is that he, you know, there was a racial incident on campus, and he cited that as reason for him needing to leave or wanting to leave and being uncomfortable at the University of Georgia. Now, you know, as many have stated, well, his sister, though, went on and enrolled at Georgia after that. So how uncomfortable is he really? Point that I made is you NCAA wouldn't want to be in the business of deciding, of passing judgment on how someone should or how someone does, you know, process a racial incident like the one he experienced. You know, he and his sister are two different people. They don't have to respond the same. NCAA was not going to want to touch that, even if it doesn't pass the sniff test. The Tate Martell one is the one that jumps out to me. It's just a coaching change. It's just a coaching change. And he achieved his waiver. He was granted his waiver. So if I'm Sean D. Brown, I mean, just because you put it in, you got a plausible argument. You thought that Coach Manning might be in trouble. That was part of your decision to, you know, to explore your options in the portal, explore your options in the draft. When he was fired, you know what? Hey, see, that justifies, you know, certainly, you know, validates my concerns. And so now I want to go somewhere else and I want to be able to play right away. That is a plausible argument, even if you don't think it passes the sniff test.
The funny thing is, that was the first thing that I thought of, Sam. My first thought process was, a lot of guys now, how about a guy, let's use an example of a guy that's not transferring. Let's look up the road and Aaron Henry at Michigan State. He's a guy that from the outside looking in, none of us would think would be a player that should leave early. He's a good player, but doesn't look like he's put enough on paper and on tape to leave early. But he goes through the process to find out what's going on. Now, if he happens to hear from a team that says, we're going to make you a number one pick, he's gone. But most guys are just going through that process to hear what do they need to improve on, what do they need to do to get better, and what will the scouts be looking at in the future so they can work on those things now and obviously along the way as they get ready for the draft down the road, because that is a place they still want to end up. But they know they're not quite ready to get there yet, more than likely, although you may get a DJ Wilson guarantee and you may stay in the draft. And to me, I thought that's what it sounded like, and he has the added layer of – there were rumblings about my coach, so I put my name into the draft, and I didn't really necessarily want to go pro, but if I heard the right things from the NBA, I was going to go. Otherwise, I wanted to go back to college, and then you fired my coach, so I didn't have the same place to go back to that I thought, and now I'd like to transfer, and I want my waiver. To me, it's actually pretty plausible, and I thought about that. It was the immediate reaction that I had. I don't think he's going to have a problem getting his waiver, at least if you can get a waiver from coaches getting fired, which has not always been the case. But the kid that transferred from Wake to Kentucky, he said if he doesn't get his waiver, he's going pro. So I have a feeling that this is going to be the case with a few of these Wake Forest guys, where they may even, you know, get together to get their waiver as a group, kind of like the Ole Miss guys did. I just don't know if there's more than my coach got fired, which should be enough. but is there more to it? And if there's more, then the waiver should be easier for him to get.
Yeah. And so again, people have to, like I tweeted that yesterday, he can use his coach's firing as a reason. And one guy said, left out the part where he applied for the waiver before he fired. No, he didn't apply for the waiver before he was fired. He entered the portal and declared for the draft before Danny Manning was fired. But that is beside the point. You got to follow how these guys have how the waiver process has gone in the past. What precedent has been set as far as the kind of argument that you can make. And again, you know, it's not the point. Maybe people don't realize, you know, transfer portal is not the point of no return. Yeah, I don't know if people know. It can be. I think that'll be one of the byproducts of the if the rule that allows for immediate eligibility is passed. And even before that, for some schools, they have taken up a policy where if a student athlete enters the portal, and we'll just keep it football, basketball for a second. If a student athlete enters the portal, I know of coaches that have said, hey, okay, well, it's over. You know, you're at this point, as soon as you enter the portal, that scholarship is no longer there for you. Now that has always been with, you know, within the purview, you know, one of the rights of the institution or the coach of the program, that a player is leaving, or at least contemplating leaving, that when a player enters the portal, you can start using that scholarship for the next, academic year. You're left to finish out that particular year. As far as the scholarship is concerned, but it's not binding after that. And so you have this risk that players are going to have to weigh moving forward, that, hey, if I enter the portal and I don't have a surefire option, a surefire place to go, I could be left out there without a scholarship at all, because, you know, coaches are increasingly saying, or at least the projections are, coaches are increasingly going to say, you know, as soon as you enter that portal, this scholarship, I'm using it. Even though that was always within their rights to do. Now guys are exercising it as a measure of accountability. Like, look, okay, think long and hard about this, because if you don't have a landing spot, that scholarship might not be there. But for a guy like Shaundy Brown, you think that was the case for him at Wake Forest? No way. So he has a plausible argument that he could make, that he was using the portal, he was using the draft in an exploratory way. After hearing rumblings about his coach, he entered the portal on I think it was April 15th is the date where he entered the portal, and Danny Manning was fired 10 days later. So, you know, it tracks, Ira. You can use that. He can use that.
Oh, I'm pretty confident that he is a pretty good case to get a waiver when all is said and done. And I expect him to be a part of the Michigan basketball active roster for the 2020-2021 season. I think he's going to get that waiver. It's not a slam dunk, but I do think he's going to get it.
Yeah, it's an interesting fit. It's an interesting fit because I was not one in favor of Eli Brooks at the one, Nojel Eastern at the two. Not a fan of that. You know, I was looking for Mike Smith to be the one and Eli Brooks be the two. Shaundy Brown, I feel a little bit different about that. That, you know, still ideally Mike Smith is your one. But, you know, it's going to make for an interesting competition in there. If Eli Brooks shows that he is more ready to be your lead guard, and Shaundy Brown really comes in and has a quick learning curve, here. I would consider this time I would consider it because I like his offensive ability more. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the Ticket.